Well, good evening. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Title of tonight's message is Walk Carefully. Walk carefully. You know, we need to be careful in our walk. Now, when I use that word walk, I'm not talking about your stride, how many steps you may take in a mile. I'm not talking about whether you walk fast or walk slow or crawl or don't walk at all. I'm not talking about that. When the Apostle Paul uses the word walk in the New Testament here, he's talking about your way of life, your conduct. And in the book of Ephesians, he uses that word walk three times in chapters 4 and 5 of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, he talks that the Christian is to walk worthily. That you and I as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, have been called from the sphere of darkness. We've been called out of sin and we've been placed into his marvelous light. We've been redeemed from our sins and we've been redeemed not only from our sins, but we've been redeemed to him. We belong to Christ, and we're to walk worthy of that calling. Marines, any former Marines in here, you would know that you are to walk worthy of being a Marine. And you may hold to different. Those of the other armed services would say the same thing. We're to walk worthy. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, he tells us we're to walk in love. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, he says, walk as children of the light. As believers, we are to be different. And we are different than the world. And we are to walk that way. When someone sees you, they should not think of you as someone that is just of the world. We are different. So when I use that word walk, when I say walk carefully, our lifestyle should be one that is carefully selected, carefully lived out. So in order, really basically what I want to give us tonight is I want us to live a God-honoring life. And that is what the Apostle Paul is telling the church or churches in Ephesus here is when he talks about their walk, their conduct, their life, he's saying this. I could sum up chapter 5 this way. Live a God-honoring life. So in order to live a life that is honoring to Christ, you and I, we must walk a certain life. And in order to do that, we must be filled, as we're going to see, with the Spirit of God. So I want each Christian to live a life honoring to Christ by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we cannot live this God-honoring life without wisdom and the Holy Spirit. And that is what the Apostle Paul is going to show us in verses 15 through 20. Of Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read those for us tonight. Verse 15. The ESV says, look carefully, or your translation may say walk carefully, but look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Can I get an amen there? Yes. Verse 17. Therefore, because of that, because the days are evil, do not be foolish, but, there's the contrast, understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But, another contrast, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to stop there right there tonight. In just these five verses, just these few verses, the Apostle Paul gives five commands to the church at Ephesus. As a result, he is giving us tonight at Tower Landing five commands, five exhortations, five encouragements, five imperatives. And off of those imperatives are going to be some results that I hope we'll see in just a few minutes. So I want to take those five commands and I want to combine them into four. Everybody with me? So tonight, very simply, I would like for you to consider with me four exhortations, four commands, four statements, four encouragements from these verses that will help you and I to live a God-honoring life. So here it is. If you desire to live a God-honoring life, the Apostle Paul is saying, do these five commands, and I'm going to give them to you in four. Do these four commands, and it will lead to a God-honoring life. The first one, the first command I want you to consider with me tonight. Walk carefully as wise people, because evil is all around. Walk carefully as wise people, because evil is all around. Hey, you ain't got to be a rocket scientist to know that we're in a tough day, aren't we? That there is wickedness, there is evil all around us, isn't it? If you don't believe it, then how about you just uproot yourself and you move out to some of the other cities that are in the news? There's evil all around, isn't it? Again, I speak of that word walk. That's our conduct. Live carefully as wise people, because evil is all around. That word carefully, or look carefully, means to be mindful, to have a careful, deliberate manner. Be mindful how you live. My papa would say, mind your business every now and then, right? Hey, mind your lifestyle. Stop trying to mind everybody else's lifestyle. And how about we just try to mind what? Our own. You know, I cause most of my own issues. I put my foot in my mouth regularly. I need to mind my own lifestyle without trying to mind everybody else's first. Would you agree with that? Well, I agree you need to do the same then. All right? I asked you if I needed to, and y'all said amen. Yes, we all do, don't we? Hey, look, we need to be mindful. We need to be careful how we walk. We need to walk wisely, making the best use of the time that we have, because the times are evil. You know, we all have the same of something, and that is the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours a day. You got it. 7 days a week. And Lord willing, we'll have 365 days in a year if we all live throughout the year. We all have the same amount of time. What we choose to do with our time is up to each of us, isn't it? You can't choose what I'll do with my time to some extent, and I can't determine what you'll do with your time to some extent. You know, there are temptations out there that draw us away. There's busyness, there's idleness. All these things, if we're not careful, can dictate what we do with our time. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, be careful. Don't allow temptations. Don't allow busyness. Don't allow idleness. Don't allow evil to take you away and lead you in a bad walk. Be careful how you walk. So in verses 15 and 16, we see right here that we got to look carefully how we walk, because evil is all around. And what I see from this, the Apostle Paul has given us two choices. There's a choice. You will either pick to walk wisely or to walk in an unwise manner. That unwise is in a foolish way. So we need to choose to walk wisely. That word wise is speaking of one who uses wisdom. Where it says in verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise. That is someone who lacks the power of proper discernment. So the unwise is someone who lacks the power of proper discernment. This is just not ignorance, but it's a picture of knowing better but choosing otherwise. Have you ever done that? You knew better, but you did it anyways, right? I've got a lot of body aches that can say, Robert, you knew better. You probably have some things in your life where decisions you made, you knew better, right? Hey, look, we have a choice to make. And in our walk, in our lifestyle as a Christian, we can either choose to be careful, that is wise in how we walk, following the Lord, or we can be unwise. Now, here's the picture I want to paint with that word unwise. The Apostle Paul is writing to who? Say it loud. Yeah, have a little confidence about you. Come on. Yeah, the church. The church is made up of regenerate believers, Christians. So here's what the Apostle Paul, the imagery behind this that he's trying to paint. He's saying, you know better. You know how to live. You know how to walk. You know the difference between right and wrong. You know the way. Don't be a fool and walk the other way. We got to be careful how we walk. So that's the first imperative. Walk carefully as wise people, because evil's all around. Hey, let's not walk as unwise, foolish people that know better. Let's mind our walk. The second imperative or encouragement I'd like to leave you with tonight is found in verse 17. Don't become foolish, but understand what God wants. You know, if you and I are not careful, we can become fools. Again, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he recognizes that they know how to walk. The first three chapters, he's reminding them of their blessings that they have in Jesus Christ. In these last three chapters, he's applying those blessings. He's applying those great truths, the doctrine of the Christian faith, those truths he gives them. He's teaching them how to apply it in their life. And he's saying, you're not foolish people, but if you're not careful, you can walk as a foolish person. Don't become foolish, but understand what God wants. The words there, do not become foolish. The way it's used here, it speaks of someone that is that's devoid of wisdom or of good sense or good judgment. Paul is saying, don't be void of wisdom. Don't be void or lack of good sense. Don't be void of good judgment. We need help in that sometimes, don't we? Yes, I know I do. And then he goes on in verse 17. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but, that contrast, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That word understand is to know and to comprehend. Understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, we got to lay a foundation for the will of the Lord. In order for you and I as believers to know what the will of the Lord is in our life, there must be a foundation. And Proverbs 1:7 lays the foundation. You want to know what the will of the Lord is for your life tonight? Start right here. Here's the foundation you build upon. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and destruction. You want to begin to build that foundation of wisdom? Who should you fear first and foremost? The Lord. Hey, I tell you, there's a lot of problems that would be taken out of our life if we would begin to have a healthy fear of Yahweh. You want to know what the will of the Lord is for your life? Begin where? Have a healthy reverence, a healthy fear of the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul would build upon that, where he talks about know and understand what the will of the Lord is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, you'll see those again. He says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. What does God desire for you? What is the will of God for your life? That you be sanctified, that you be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, that you have been set apart from sin and you've been set apart to God, and that you walk in that, and that you continually grow and mature in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is God's will. That is what he wants us to understand. Do you see the contrast he's painting in verse 17? Do not walk as a fool. Christians aren't to walk as fools. And I'm not talking about intellect. I'm not talking about an IQ. I have the IQ of about my foot size. It's a 9. All right? We're not talking about that. He goes on to say, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. And he goes on to list this out. You want to live out God's will? Listen to this. That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warn you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. You want to live the will of God for your life? Live a holy life. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but who? God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. What's he saying at the end?
The will of God is for you and I to live a holy life, a sanctified life. And who helps us in that? The Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul would continue on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let me interpret. Let me just restate. God wants you to follow Him. If you were to ask me, what is the will of God for my life, Robert? Follow God. Man, I don't need a seven-step plan and a nine-step rescue. I don't follow God. God wants us to follow Him. Let me state it another way. Obey Him. Obey God. Well, the Psalms in Psalm 119 would say that He's hidden God's word in His heart so that He would not what? Sin against Him. Hey, this is not rocket science. But understand, verse 17, what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that each individual believer, I cannot follow the Lord for you. This past Thursday, we dropped our oldest daughter, Caroline, off at ECU. Now, we're still raising her, in a sense. But you know, I'm not there now every day to make sure she follows the Lord. I couldn't even do all that when she was in my house. I can't make sure you obey God. And you can't make sure I obey God. It is left up to each individual Christian to obey the Father. Follow Him. So we've seen the second command here from this verse, or these verses. Don't become foolish, but understand what God wants. And what God wants is for you to follow Him. Do His will. The third command I would leave you with tonight, or exhortation, don't be controlled by worldly things. Don't be controlled by worldly things. Look at verse 18a, just the first part. And do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery. Now let's stop right there. I've put it here as a command not to be controlled by worldly things. The word there used is, definitely do not get drunk. Now, if you do not want to get drunk, you should abstain from. There you are. If a man don't want to fall down, he ought not walk where it is slippery. Right? Just this past week, a few of us helped Miss Newcomb with her house, getting the tree off her house. And one of the things I noticed about that is it was a slick metal roof. And on that metal roof with a pine tree is pine straw, right? Well, it wasn't too steep of a pitch, the angle, but it was steep enough that when I got up there on work boots, that metal roof became very slick. It became even slicker on that pine straw. And you had to be careful because some of the roof was buckled. There was holes. You had to be careful where you walked. Hey, we need to be careful where how we walk. And in that walk, in how we live, we need to be careful with the things that control us. There are things, there are people out there buying for your attention, trying to control you. And the Apostle Paul here to the church at Ephesus is telling them, alcohol, wine, if you're not careful, you will allow it to control you. But I don't want to stop right there. I don't want to make a narrow application of this tonight. I want to make a more broad application for us. When I say don't be controlled by worldly things, anyone or any substance can control us if we're not careful. Allow me to meddle for just a moment, if you will. Alcohol, drugs, money, wealth, power, pride, position. No, I want that next position at work. Food, our emotions. If we are not careful, and the Apostle Paul is warning the church at Ephesus,
As believers, if we are not careful, we can allow worldly things to control how we walk, how we act, how we live, what we give our devotion to, what we give our attention to. Has it ever happened to you? Yes, it has. It's happened to me. It's a battle. This is a daily battle. There are very attractive things in the world that display themselves every day before me, vying for my attention and my allegiance. You'll see them tonight when you go home. You'll turn on the TV, you'll watch some show, and in the middle of that show, it will break for what? A commercial. I'm going to tell you what, that Whopper can look so delicious at 9:30 at night. And I have just eaten. Don't be controlled by worldly things. Time out. You put your worldly thing right there. Let's draw a blank. What is it? What is it right now in your life, believer, that is trying to control you or guide you or lead you? Who is it? Well, that would lead us to the fourth and final command I want to leave us with. And that would be surrender and be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Surrender and be controlled. If we're not to be controlled by worldly things, we're to be controlled by something that is supernatural, something that is not of this world, and that is the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 again, and do not get drunk with wine, for this or that is debauchery, but be filled or be controlled or be led or be guided with the Spirit, the very Spirit of God. Something I did not point out when I was talking about not being controlled by worldly things. In verse 18, where it says, and do not get drunk with wine. Those things of the world can constantly try to guide us, and it's an outside force pressing in against us. Well, the Holy Spirit here is trying to guide us. And you and I, we don't control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to control and lead us. He is to guide us. He is, the idea here is of a present force in the believer's life, a present being in the believer's life, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. And it says here, but be filled. That word filled can be translated to make full. I want you to picture the idea of overflowing. The Holy Spirit is to overflow in the believer's life. Just yesterday afternoon, I dug some drainage ditches in my backyard with a shovel for our gutters. And I snapped the fittings together and put the ends on it, and I wanted to test it out. And one of the things I did is I dropped a water hose in one of the gutter spouts there near the end, and I turned the water on and I filled that sucker up. And guess what? It began to overflow. That's a good picture here of how the Holy Spirit is to be in our life. That constant source in our life that fills us, that we are overflowing with the Spirit of God. God, let me state it another way. God wants you full of Him. Why would I say that? The Apostle Paul's already alluded to that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Let me start up at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of who? You know what God's desire for you tonight is? To be full of Him. Not yourself. And not worldly things. See, we will fill ourselves with someone or something.
And we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do we do this? Moment by moment, day by day, yielding or surrendering our will to His. It is a literal moment by moment decision. You will come upon a decision and you will either fill yourself with your desire or you will surrender your will to His will and follow after Him. And we are filled by the means of the Holy Spirit. Do you catch that? He is the instrument. He is the vehicle that we are filling ourselves with. And it is by Him. As Christians, we are to be controlled by the Spirit of God by the means of the Spirit. So this happens when we surrender to Him moment by moment, day by day. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. And He calls the shots. Think of how our relationships would be healed if we were filled with the Spirit. Think of the believer's marriage between a husband and a wife. How if both were filled with the Spirit, the harmony in the house. If Christian co-workers were filled with the Spirit, the harmony between them. If Christian families or extended families were filled with the Spirit, the harmony that would be between them. Isn't that beautiful? Hey, we need to be, there's this command here. He's saying be filled, be controlled, be guided by the Spirit. And what I want to leave us with tonight is verses 19 through 20. Because what we're going to see is being filled with the Holy Spirit results in something. Yes, it can result in an individual lifestyle that is honoring to God. But what I want us to see is being filled with the Spirit leads to corporate worship. Why would I say that? Again, who is he writing to? The church. And what does he say about the church? In verse 19, get the picture. When you and I walk carefully, we are being filled by the Spirit. And when you and I walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, not allowing worldly things to control us, but allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, surrendering to His will and control us, what will happen? Look at verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to submit to you that when, as believers, when we individually walk or live a life that is honoring to God, being filled by the Spirit, it will lead to corporate worship. It has to. It will not lead to, I don't have to go to church. You're not filled with the Spirit. Do you see the result here? There is a result that it will happen. Nothing will undo this. That if the believer will be filled with the Spirit, if they will walk a life or live a life that is honoring to the Lord in the Spirit, it will lead to them desiring to worship with other believers. Corporate worship. And what happens in this corporate worship? This is what he's telling the church at Ephesus. We speak truth to one another. That's what he says. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He goes on talking about speaking melody to the Lord. Well, speak truth to one another. Not only that, we worship in song from the heart to the Lord. And then finally, we give thanks to God. Hey, that's corporate worship. Yes, I can sing songs to myself, and there are times I do. I'm glad you're not there. I need to speak truth to myself frequently. And there are times I just have a praise session by myself. But that is no substitute for doing it with you. Let me pause. There are some that are unable to attend right now. There are some that can't attend. And I'm not speaking to them that they're not filled with the Spirit. I'm not saying that. I'm speaking to that so-called believer who says that they don't need the church. Well, that's a lie. Hey,
living a God-honoring life. Yes, it honors God. And it is one that is walked in the Spirit. But it also leads to us assembling and worshiping God together. And I'm thankful we do that. Walk carefully. How you walking tonight? How you living? If you had to sum up your lifestyle in a couple words, what would it be like? One word. I think the Apostle Paul is saying this. Are you living as the wise Christian? Or are you living as a fool? Which one is it? Well, you'll know, there's a lot of times I choose the foolish path instead of following after Christ. Not sure where Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20 have hit you tonight. Not sure how it's helped you or maybe convicted you, maybe challenged you. But I know it has certainly challenged me. Because all too often, like the other day on that metal roof, I don't always step very carefully. Sometimes I don't pay attention. I step in a hole. Or I step in some places I shouldn't. Believer, tonight, we are being called collectively and individually to mind our walk. Will you do that? Will you do that? Will you surrender your own will, your own desires, whatever has been controlling you? I mean, it can be as simple as your emotions. It could be music. It could be TV. Will you surrender that and say, Spirit of God, fill me and control me tonight? Pray with me.